football player was named a first-team All-American yesterday, and who has the best shot at being an All-American next year? And with BYU playing Colorado in the Alamo Bowl, are we rooting for Travis Hunter to win the Heisman?
Jonathan Tavernari joins the program to discuss the A.J. DiBonsa signing and how BYU has looked through nine games this season. Plus, we count down the top 10 plays of BYU football's 10-win regular season. Which play is number one on your list?
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Great to have you with us on this Friday, December 13th. I am Jerem Jordan. He is Jersey Swap interpreter Spencer Linton.
So fun to watch Puka Nacua and Fred Warner last night swap jerseys, incredible NFL talents. And Jerem, it's one thing to, you know, have the BYU accounts post this and put it all over their socials. No, it's the NFL's main account with how many? 37 million followers saying the following: BYU football represented well. How awesome is that to watch the NFL account post about BYU football with Fred Warner and Puka Nacua?
And then Fred's interaction pregame made the rounds. Super cute, right? With his wife, Sydney, and son, Bo. That's awesome. Pulling out his dad's beard. It's pretty cool. It's fun to see Fred and Puka on their bye weeks in the press box. I mentioned it the other day with A.J. DiBonsa. They were interacting with him, and Steve Young was there. It was a star-studded day. So congrats to those guys. Crazy game with only field goals last night. That was a wild one in the NFC West. I didn't know who to pull for because my Seahawks are up on everybody right now.
Yeah, can both teams lose for your Seahawks?
Can they tie?
Not possible.
It is possible to tie in the NFL still. Yeah.
Who doesn't love a game with no touchdowns, Jerem? It's incredible football.
Woof.
Incredible football.
I mean, we almost saw that with BYU-SMU, did we not?
Yes. Yeah, thankfully BYU at least scored a touchdown early on. Missed the extra point, but at least they scored a touchdown.
Yeah, made up for it later with the two-point conversion. Okay, all rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
10-5, touchdown! Keelan Marion. Keelan shoots a gap, stays on his feet, he's gonna go!
I actually was shocked myself. I didn't even know how to, like, celebrate anything. I just, like, hugged the guys.
Hey, what better celebration than an embrace? You know, that's the best. BYU's Keelan Marion named to the Walter Camp All-American First Team as a kick returner yesterday, part of the Home Depot ESPN College Football Awards show. Marion becomes the first BYU player since Brady Christensen in 2020 to be named a Walter Camp First Team All-American. So first off, what's your reaction to that? BYU's got one of the best in the country.
Incredible. How many guys returned two kicks for touchdowns this season? Not many. And he changed the game against Wyoming and certainly put BYU right back in the driver's seat for the moment at Utah. You look back at what BYU needed to do to beat Utah. How crazy big was the fact that Keelan Marion scored a touchdown in that game, a low-scoring affair in the rivalry contest. So I love it. I think he earned every bit of it, Jerem. And I'm excited to see what Keelan can do moving forward. Now, as a returning All-American, how about that? So not surprised at all, given his stats and the on-field performance. I'd like to see Keelan take over as BYU's top receiver and add that to his repertoire. But really, really cool to see BYU back on the All-American list. Hasn't happened like this. A first teamer hasn't happened in a long time, Jerem. What's your reaction to Keelan Marion getting the first team nod?
Great to have a skill position guy. You could call that, right? A kick returner, a receiver who does that. That's big time for BYU because we've talked about how this team doesn't have a ton of stars. They have a bunch of very good players. Like, this is one of the greatest teams, emphasis on team, that BYU's ever had because they didn't have a guy that's a first, second, or third rounder in the NFL probably. We hope there's several draft picks, but I'm not sure it's in day one or day two. No day one guys for sure right now, but Marion provided an incredible spark in kick return. And like you said, that kick return against Utah is all time. That moment is all time because Utah's defense was really good. BYU needed a spark, needed something coming out of halftime where BYU had been atrocious and the clock management had been terrible at the end of the half. They needed something and they got it in the form of Keelan Marion. So that's pretty cool, man. And like you mentioned with Keelan as a receiver next year, what can he be for BYU? Because amazingly, this guy has five rushing touchdowns. He's a jet sweep hero for BYU. He has one receiving touchdown in 2 years at BYU, which is crazy. So he has more kick return touchdowns then he has receiving touchdowns as well, which is crazy. Keelan is so versatile, though. You can use him in a ton of ways. Very quick to get upfield on a jet sweep and even a kick return. You got to have quickness and speed. He's got that. He's got great hands as well. He's been one of the better transfers BYU's had the last couple of years. So congratulations to Keelan.
Mm. To steal a phrase from the great Lightning McQueen, if Keelan were speaking in the first person, he would say, "I am speed." Yes.
I am speed.
He is speed for BYU. And it was fun to watch him get clocked on that kick return against Utah by all of the national college football accounts and the stats and analysis people to see just how fast he was going. But if you're a first-team All-American this year, then he's going to show up on a bunch of preseason award watch lists. I hope he gets an even bigger opportunity next year, like you were just talking about, Jerem, going on the conversation of him taking a bigger role in the wide receiver room with the likes of Darius Lassiter leaving, and then we'll see what happens with Chase Roberts. But I want more Keelan Marion. This is a guy that Fessy Satake told me 2.5 years ago, if we land him, he will be an NFL receiver, and he's making a case with some big-time plays.
He certainly, we've got to get him the rock a little more if he's going to do that as an offensive player there. But kick return, certainly big time there. Okay, next topic. Which BYU player has the best chance to become an All-American next year?
Well, it's hard not to default back to Keelan, right? If he did it as a junior, like, why would we not anticipate that he has a great opportunity to do it again? But for the conversation to continue outside of Keelan Marion, why not stay with special teams? Could it be Big Game Bill? Is it Will Farron as BYU's kicker who steps in and is BYU's next first-team All-American? He'll be on some preseason award watch list, that's for sure. He's been dynamite. I can't put enough stress on how important it is to have a go-to kicker. And BYU has had a go-to kicker for not just this season, but he was really good last season as well. So Will Farron is a guy that I look at as maybe the next best potential in place of a Keelan Marion repeat. If you want to go outside of that, then maybe you start to look at a guy like Jack Kelly or even Isaiah Glasker, that linebacker room producing something big. But it's so tough to be a first team All-American on any award watch list recognizable award committee, right? I mean, there are a few. It's tough to get to even honorable mention. But if we're going to go outside of special teams, I'm probably leaning toward the linebackers of Jack Kelly and Isaiah Glasker because I feel like they will be NFL guys at some point. How do you see that conversation? And would you add anybody to that list?
Certainly to be recognized, you either have to put up crazy numbers on an okay or bad team, or you have to be good on a good team. And in the case this year, Keelan Marion was really good on a good team. Will Farron was really good on a good team. Which, by the way, the next field goal Will Farron makes is a BYU single-season record. He's got 21. He's tied it right now. That's incredible. So I agree with you that Keelan Marion and Will Farron as special teamers are the top two candidates to be All-Americans next season. And certainly they'll be in the magazines. They're going to get a lot of ink in the offseason. I wonder about a guy like Waylon Lapu'ahu at guard. Could he become BYU's next All-American? And then I like your mention of Jack Kelly and Isaiah Glasker. And again, we assume all these guys stay. Who knows what opportunities in the NFL or in the portal may lure these guys. We'll see. We hope they stay. But Isaiah Glasker's numbers, like Kyle Van Noy-like, right? Like what he did this year was incredible. Jacob Robinson has an extra year if he wanted to stay. He's already said his intention is to go. We'll see what updated information there is on that in the offseason. But Jacob Robinson would get preseason hype as well because of his career numbers with interceptions. He continues to pick off a bunch of passes every year, very consistent. BYU's tied for the lead with 3 this year. 3 doesn't feel like a big number, but they don't just chuck it deep anymore. There's a lot of checkdowns and underneath in the modern game. It isn't the 80s where they're throwing it 40 times down the field or whatever. So it looks like BYU could have some good studs going into next year. And certainly because BYU won 10 games, they're going to get a lot of preseason excitement. Now, we did not mention Jake Retzlaff there. Jake Retzlaff.
That's a guy we should talk about.
Jake Retzlaff is interesting because I think if his numbers go up, he would be more in the conversation. I'm talking everything from right now he's sub 60% completion percentage. If he's like mid-60s, I think he's in the conversation here. And obviously, you probably got to get to the 30s and in passing touchdowns and whatnot. But because of BYU's team element, They want to win the game more than they want certain stats for certain guys. Sometimes your quarterback isn't in the conversation because of that. But Jake has had a very good season.
Yeah, you're not off with the need to raise his completion percentage like that. That's something that I know Jake is, he's well aware of. He wants to better that. If you look at a guy like Shedeur Sanders, that dude's completing 70% of his passes, Jerem. Like, that's what it takes to be in that elite level of college quarterbacks and be that All-American status line is closer to 70%. Jake is a gamer, and we're not overlooking that. But if you want to go to that next tier, he clearly has some room to work on his accuracy. And frankly, BYU throwing it more and him putting up some more of those video game numbers. Those are the types of numbers that it would take to get on an All-American list. So I look forward to seeing what Jake can do as he takes the next step, going from four games in his initial campaign, all four losses, to a 10-2 regular season this year. And with some new pieces around him and hopefully the core as much as possible returning around him, what he can do next year to try and take that next step. Because I'm with you, I'd love to see him up at 64 or 65%. And frankly, I think that would mean potentially really, really good things for BYU as they look to try and capitalize on what has been a remarkable season.
Certainly better numbers equal better opportunity to win games. But frankly, I don't really care about any individual's numbers as long as BYU wins. Like this year
was... Win the game.
This year was a great example of that. It's like, did BYU not have a superstar? Yeah, who cares? They went 10-2. Do they go 11-1 if they have a superstar? I don't know. I think it was hard to defend BYU. I think it was hard for opposing offenses to go against BYU with the number one defense. The special teams was amazing. I enjoyed this season without said superstar. It's all good. Okay, yeah. Next up. Tomorrow is the Heisman Trophy ceremony. Are you rooting for Travis Hunter to win it because BYU plays Colorado?
Yes. This is totally a factor for me. I want BYU to play against the Heisman Trophy winner. And I think that there's a good chance they will be playing against him. But my rooting interest is for Travis Hunter to win that because it's just more national spotlight on San Antonio and the Alamo Bowl. As if there weren't enough already with Coach Prime and the whole Colorado football regime and his sons, Shedeur and Shiloh. You throw in the Heisman Trophy winner. Now we're talking about maybe Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders are both top five picks in the NFL draft. There's some people that think they're both going to be top three picks, which is just insane. So I like the added context. I like the added national interest. And if you are facing the Heisman Trophy winner and the number one quarterback projected in the NFL draft with Coach Prime, just more layers to what's going to be a really fun bowl week buildup for BYU and Colorado. Not that I don't think Ashton Gentry is an incredible player at Boise State. I think he will finish runner-up, but I do believe that Travis Hunter also has the popular vote as well as being versatile. But straight up, yeah, I'm rooting for him to win because I would love for BYU to have an opportunity to compete against the Heisman Trophy winner. What? Maybe 2 weeks after he wins it? I'm trying to think of when it will be announced. So it's announced tomorrow, exactly. The 14th. So 2 weeks after he gets the hardware in New York, his first game after winning the Heisman Trophy, I love it. I love the challenge. I love the optics of it. And I know the BYU players would love for a fact to play against the Heisman Trophy winner, Travis Hunter. Do you differ at all from my opinion or are you kind of down the middle? How are you feeling about this? Because no, I feel pretty strongly. I want him to win.
No, I agree. I love it. A little research here on BYU versus Heisman winner. So three times BYU has played the Heisman Trophy winner that season. Herschel Walker in 82, Chris Wanky in 2000, Matt Leinart in 2004. BYU lost all three of those games. BYU's played four others at some point in their career. Jaden Daniels, Arizona State in 21, Reggie Bush, USC in 03 and 04, Sam Bradford, Oklahoma 09. That was kind of two games after he had won it. Terry Baker, Oregon State in 61. Then there are three other players who eventually won a Heisman but didn't play in the game against BYU prior to winning it, like the freshman or sophomore season. Charlie Ward, Florida State, 91. Geno Toretta, Miami, 90. Eddie George, 93, Ohio State. So it'd be cool for Travis to win it. It's a Big 12 honor, which we incorporate into the league now and want the league to succeed. And it'd be nice to perhaps win the game for the first time against a Heisman winner. And maybe even bigger than the Heisman is the top five pick thing, like you mentioned. Both Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter are expected to be top five, maybe even top three, as you mentioned. That's a big deal. We think of when BYU beat Cal and Jared Goff, right, that in 2014, like they didn't go to a bowl game. It was like, well, look at Jared Goff now. Those memories last for many of these players of, hey, I played against those great players, and what did they go on to do, and so on and so forth. So, yes, I want Travis Hunter to win the Heisman to rep the Big 12, and also it's just a cool storyline going into the Alamo Bowl. Should be awesome.
Who doesn't love the old wily Christian Stewart out-dueling Jared Goff in that game in 2014?
That was fun. Yeah.
Safe to say that you think, like I do, that Travis Hunter is going to win the Heisman Trophy in New York on Saturday?
Yeah, Gentile will take second. I'm really interested to see if Dylan Gabriel takes third. Who's going to take third?
Yeah. Mm. That's probably more of the drama there, because I think everyone's just expecting Travis Hunter to win it.
Yeah, exactly. Our question of the day is this. We're counting down the top 10 plays of the BYU football season. We'll bring that to you later in the program. Stay tuned. What play is your number one play on the list at True Blue 1984 on X? The kick was unbelievable. That's referring to Will Ferrin against Utah. But the punt returned by Kingston with the ensuing blowout of K-State was a statement as to what was about to happen for BYU. That Parker Kingston play is crazy. I'm excited to see and release where that is for everybody.
It's incredible. And I love that this is different for a lot of fans because of how they experienced it. And everybody has a different subjective view of what top play means, right? So I love this conversation because BYU has had so many big plays, but everyone's going to have a little bit different take. Next response comes from McKay Dobbins on X, who says, got to be Darius Lassiter against Oklahoma State. Ferrin's game winner against the Utes and Kingston's punt return are right up there. But McKay leans for that dramatic touchdown catch by Darius Lassiter to beat Oklahoma State.
Epic. Not hard to think that's top three this season, top four. I mean, it was an amazing play to keep the undefeated season alive. My heart was beaten out of my chest at the end of multiple games this year. That was one of them that I remember. Continue to weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
Gosh. Okay. All right, let's go to how about this topic, Jeremy? I know BYU fans are seeing more and more former BYU guys pop up on Utah football social media posts. Weird emotions, no question. But Micah Simon, Coy Detmer Jr., and Mark Atuaya have all been named to Utah's coaching staff this week, joining offensive coordinator Jason Beck as former BYU players on Utah's coaching staff. Like that whole Ute offensive staff feels like BYU guys.
Pretty much.
Jaron, do you like the crossover on the BYU and Utah coaching staffs? Because BYU has a bunch of former Utah guys that are now coaching BYU at a very high level.
It's getting to be a little much, I'm going to be honest. When it's like the whole offensive staff almost, it feels like. I mean, they're not going to have every single guy be a BYU guy, but typically your OC is going to get the chance to pick who he wants, and then the coach kind of approves it, right? It's a lot. Like for BYU's defense, you got Jay Hill, obviously, as a defensive coordinator and safeties coach, and Sione Puha. Gary Anderson's behind the scenes as an analyst, and there's one or two other guys, but in terms of straight position coaches, it's like, now wait a minute. It's offensive coordinator Jason Beck. You got Coy Detmer Jr. with the quarterbacks, which is pretty cool. Micah Simon with tight ends. Mark Atuaya with running backs. It's getting a little lopsided here. I'm not sure I like this that much. I don't like seeing those guys in crimson too much. When Kalani Sitake was up there, and he, you know, it was like a dude or two. But now, I don't know. Four is a little much. Four or five, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's happening fast. It's not like these guys have been plugged in, you know, one here and then 2 years later, there's another guy. It's all at the same time. It's all happened in a week. And it's just wild to watch. And here's what I don't like most about it. I feel like Utah's offense is going to get a major upgrade.
Yes, that's the part I don't like the most.
Jason Beck has done.
They might actually be good on offense.
He deserves the credit. He's been great wherever he has gone. So why would I expect anything else from Jason, and now he's at Utah, and he's got a bunch of solid BYU guys around him to help him coach, and he just got a really good quarterback to transfer in that he coached at New Mexico and coached well. So that's probably the most uneasy part. And I've spoken recently with Jason and his wife, Jamie, and I'm like, look, I'm not going to lie. The emotions are mixed. Really happy for your opportunity. I do not know how to feel about the idea of Jason coaching against BYU.
I know how to feel. So, I don't like it. He's good. My goodness. He's good. If they actually score on offense, that's tough. That's tough. Like, they had one quarter of success against BYU this year. What if they had an actual offense and they win that game? So I don't like it at all. I don't like it at all.
Oh, man.
I'm happy for them as people. It's like me with Fred Warner and the Niners as a Seahawks fan. I'm happy for you, Fred, but I hope your team stinks.
I love it so much.
Men's Hoops taking on Wyoming coming up tomorrow at the Delta Center in Salt Lake, home of the Utah Jazz and the Utah Hockey Club. It's a little colder in there this year. 9 Eastern time on ESPN+. Plus. Pregame on the radio at 8 Eastern. Up next, Jonathan Tavernari joins us to discuss the A.J. DeBonta signing and BYU 7-2 start. This is BYU Sports Nation.
What in the world is happening at BYU?
Score! Cannon cleared for takeoff behind his head.
Like where these guys are trying to get to, like I've been there.
The natural spotlight, the best cast on BYU.
The blueprint is already there.
Here we are. The mojo around the corner.
You just got to call it the Kevin Young effect.
Indeed we do. The voice of Jonathan Tavernari. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. As JT joins the program, BYU 7-2, riding high off the 28-point win against Fresno State, signing A.J. DeBonta. JT, life is good in Provo, is it not?
I won't complain it. That's for sure. So it's amazing time to be a BYU fan.
Okay, let's talk about the signing of A.J. DeBonta. Certainly, the NIL era makes it possible for BYU to get a guy like this more than it did before. Because BYU was in the hunt for other kind of top guys. They didn't get them, right? And Chris Burgess and Jabari Parker to Duke and whatnot. Now you can get the right coach and NIL and compete in a way that BYU has not. What's your reaction to the signing of the nation's number one recruit to BYU? I still can't believe it.
Yeah, it's definitely something that we've never seen before. I think you and I have talked about this before, right? And we had a little bit of a conversation. I don't know if I would consider Sean Bradley to be on the same type of situation just because of we're getting somebody that, you know, historically has no place being in Provo. And to have AJ, I think that to me, what stands out the most out of everything is the dad saying, look, the NIL offer was pretty much the same for every single team. Really what made the difference was the staff that BYU has in place right now, which goes back to what Kevin Young himself has said, look, this is going to be the best place in college basketball for you to get ready to go to the NBA. And so they have an NBA staff, and then, you know, Chris Burgess brings a very a lot of credentials when it comes to the college game. And, you know, I'm a firm believer, Jeremy and I have talked about this, between mashing one and dones and top talent with LDS talent. And I think that's where Chris Burgess fits in better than anybody else that we know. And then, you know, nutrition and conditioning and even the mental side of the game with Craig Manning. Can you then go to college, to any other college in the country today, and say all of these guys – coaching staff, nutrition, strength and conditioning, you know, the mental aspect, they're all former NBA level personnel. But not only that, Craig Manning won a ring with the Bucks. Kevin Young was right there. All of the other coaches have multiple playoff experience. And so when, you know, if all things are equal, the coaching staff is not. And AJ and his dad, Ace, have been really clear about that, which is super impressive. You know, obviously being there and seeing the way they run practice, and even in warm-ups, you know, we've talked about that before. Everything that they do is an NBA level type of thing, and it's an amazing thing to see.
Is this the tip of the iceberg? Are we going to see more kind of top 10 guys like this? Because we're seeing Yegor Demon and now A.J. DeBonta, and obviously you got top 30 guys in Cannon Catching, Xavion Staten coming in next year. Like, this is unprecedented space for BYU.
And not only that, I think it's, you know, the crucial thing to me, right? At BYU, we have accustomed to, let's fight for a championship. Let's see how far we can go in the NCAA tournament. I don't want to take away from the side of the fans that they want a team that wins. They want a team that competes in March Madness. And I think all those things will come to fruition. The most pressing thing for BYU basketball this year, not only is signing AJ, but it's what happens in June with Yegor and with Cannon. Lo and behold, those two end up being drafted in the first round. I think from that point on, everything that Kevin Young has promised, he will have delivered. And I think AJ will be the tip of the iceberg. Now, AJ is a generational talent, right? And, you know, he talks to himself, he talks about himself as, you know, a Kevin Young or a T-Mac. I would also say, Jerome, if he gets his handles right, he reminds me a lot of Penny Hardaway with how young and fresh those legs are and being able to explode the way he does. But I think that becomes the tip of the iceberg. You see what happened in Rüdiger's. How long has it been since we say, wow, Rüdiger's is an NBA destination for prospects? I don't think that's ever been said, you know, if often. And so to have those two players that Rüdiger has, to then be able to see what BYU is doing and getting AJ, lo and behold, if Yegor and Cannon go to the NBA and they are one and done, and then AJ comes, and let's just say the first, you know, all the way up to December with AJ, it's a home run out of the park, right? At that point, I think the gates open, and you're going to start seeing BYU year in and year out being a top 10, top 15 recruiting class school when it's all said and done.
That would be incredible, because now you're bringing in talent that can get you to Sweet 16 pluses, because BYU's needed the National Player of the Year twice to get to the Sweet 16. It's only happened twice. You had to have Danny Ainge, Jimmer Fredette. Okay, riddle me this, because I've been thinking about this. What's more important? They both matter. What's more important? Where Yegor Demon and or Cannon Catchings go in the draft versus where BYU goes in the NCAA tournament?
Oh, man. I mean, are you asking Jonathan, the former player and, you know, the retired professional guy, or you're asking JT, the bleed blue BYU fan through and through? Because I think I'm going to give you two different answers. And here's why. If I'm looking at a pure BYU guy, you guys know I'm a Navy guy, even my cup is Navy. You know, I have a Greg Rebel bubblehead over. I mean, if you're asking that guy, I'm going to say, I want BYU to compete for a Big 12 championship, and I hope BYU go as far as it can in March Madness. If you're asking JT, the former, you know, professional player and all of that, I'm going to say it's more important to see what happens with Yegor and Cannon in the draft. And that's where, in full transparency, I think by year three of Kevin Young, we're going to be at a place, BYU is going to be at a place where you're bringing in top tier level, LDS talent level. Let's be realistic. You got to have those guys.
Yes.
You need to have the Brody Kozlowskis and the Chamberlain Burgess. You need to have the Dallin Halls and the Richie Saunders and the Trevin Nels. By the way, my boy Trevin shooting almost 45% from three. I don't think that's a coincidence. And so when you have all of those guys in place, and they bring experience, understanding of the Provo culture, the BYU culture, and then you mix in all of the NBA things that Kevin Young and his staff bring, that to me, Jerem, is when you're talking about, you know, definitely special seasons with 30-win seasons, and, you know, Sweet 16s, Elite Eights, right? That to me is when you cross that border.
We're talking to Jonathan Tavernari, former BYU all-conference player here on BYU Sports Nation. Okay, I want to ask you about Trevin, because it feels like Twitter and some people on Twitter are not as big a fan of Trevin, even when he succeeds. Yet, this dude's shooting 45% from three right now. He's a 39% career three-point shooter. He's coming off a double-double. We didn't know the rebounding game was there. How do you feel about how Trevin is progressing now in his senior season?
I couldn't be more proud of him. You know, it's open that he and I have a very special relationship. We're very close. We worked a lot this summer. The funny thing is we worked on shooting just a little bit. It was just a little smudge of what we did. Everything was about the mental aspect of the game. It was, hey, you miss 0 for 10. You better shoot the 11th. And you make, you know, 6 out of 8, or you're 1 for 7, smile the same way. You have a beautiful smile. Be happy about it. Be proud. And that's what I'm most proud of him. You know, my wife doesn't get enough credit when I share this. I was always a rhythm shooter, a streaky shooter, but I was a volume shooter. And you know, it's why I'm okay being number two behind a guy that went supernova to break my record. I'm okay with that, right? Like you said, the only other time that BYU ever went to the Sweet 16 was with Jimmer. But there are times that I would get down on myself and say, what am I doing? Should I ever shoot another three-pointer? And, you know, my wife always said to me, law of averages. You know, Babe Ruth always had the home run and the hitting record, but he also had the strikeout. And all of my conversations with Trevor was about that. Hey, you know, Trevin, this is what you need to do. Think about this. Who cares? Keep shooting. And the best thing is you can see that Kevin Young trusts him to the point that if you start noticing when Trevin makes a three-pointer, if he's going to be the one that gets subbed out, Trevin usually gets another minute or two. If he makes two shots, he usually gets five more minutes. And so that comes from experience of coaching at a high level, which Kevin Young does because he has coached the Grayson Allens and the Kevin Durants and the Devin Bookers. And he knows that although statistically speaking, you know, you don't feed the hot hand if you're playing, you know, blackjack or poker, but you definitely do on a basketball court because there's emotions and so on. And so from that perspective, I'm so proud of Trevin. His senior leadership is showing. Kevin Young trusts him. The staff trusts him. You know, I'm very proud of him on a personal level because we're very close. But as a fan, you know, I went through the same things. People used to boo me and tell me not to shoot. I really didn't care much because I still shot. And I'm glad that he's doing the same.
That's true. That's absolutely true. Well, JT, we appreciate the insight. Great stuff, man. We look forward to BYU taking on Wyoming tomorrow night. And best of luck with everything.
I appreciate you. Always and forever, go Cougs.
Un abrazo. Jonathan Tavernari, one of the great shooters in BYU history. Okay, BYU Basketball with Kevin Young on demand. In case you missed it from last night, good show with Richie Saunders on the program. You can check it out on the BYU TV app and BYUSN.com. Headlines are coming up after the break as we preview a busy weekend of BYU hoops and Cougars in the NFL. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to your day-to-day Cougar Sports play-by-play, BYU Sports Nation. Jerem Jordan alongside Spencer Linton. Let's get to today's headlines.
Beginning with Keelan Marion, who was named to the Walter Camp All-America First Team as a kick returner yesterday as part of the Home Depot ESPN College Football Awards show. Marion, the FBS co-leader in kick return touchdowns with two, and is 12th nationally in yards per return at 26.2. Marion becomes the first BYU player since Brady Christensen in 2020 to be named a Walter Camp First Team All-American.
14 BYU players named to the College Football Network's All-American and All Big 12 teams. Keelan Marion named to the All-American second team and as the Big 12 kick returner of the year. Marion joined by Jack Kelly, Isaiah Glasker, Will Farron on the All Big 12 first team. Tyler Batty was the lone second team All Big 12 honoree. Chase Roberts, Jacob Robinson, Wayne Lalapuahu, Tanner Wall, Blake Mangelson on the third team. And then honorably mentioned were Jake Retzloff, Darius Laster, Connor Pay, and LJ Martin.
On to the NFL. Puka Nacua caught seven passes for 97 yards last night for the Rams in a 12-6 win over the 49ers. So Puka's stats pretty loud in a quiet overall offensive performance from both teams. Fred Warner led San Francisco's defense with 15 tackles and a pass breakup in the loss. Indeed, BYU represent.
Other Cougars in the NFL, Cobb Van Noy and the Ravens head to New York to play the Giants. Jamal Williams and the Saints host Michael Davis and the Commanders. Zane Anderson, Chris Brooks, and the Packers travel to Seattle to play the Seahawks on Sunday Night Football.
BYU men's basketball hosting Wyoming tomorrow at the Delta Center in Salt Lake City. Can we call it a host? It's a neutral site, sure. So they're playing Wyoming. BYU has won 14 straight in this series, including a 94-68 win last year in the Marriott Center. Yegor Demian will miss his second consecutive game as he comes back from a knee contusion. Pregame coverage begins at 8 Eastern on BYU Radio. The game tips at 9 Eastern, live on ESPN Plus and BYU Radio.
Women's basketball plays its final non-conference game tonight at Washington State. Last time BYU played Washington State was Amber Whiting's first win as BYU head coach. You can listen to Jason Shepherd on the call beginning at 9 Eastern on BYU Radio or watch on ESPN Plus.
Men's and women's track and field wrapping up the BYU December Invitational yesterday at the Smith Fieldhouse. Notable performances included Marin Garnett setting the number 5 all-time mark at BYU in the pole vault at 4.28 meters. Sammy Oblad's 7.55 time in the 60 meters. tying her for eighth all time, and Riley Hunt 7.92 in the 60 meter hurdles, also tying him for eighth all time in program history.
Coming up, what are the top 10 plays from BYU football's 10 win regular season? This is BYU Sports Nation.
Chase Roberts stays in bounds. He's intercepted on fourth and one. Batted up, ball and picked up.
Turning on the Jets.
Oh my goodness. Lassiter getting it.
The game is over.
It's amazing Greg Wrubell has a voice at all at this point after this football season with 10 wins. That was a lot of excitement, which was awesome. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. Jerem Jordan, Spencer Linton with you. Oh, 10 wins equals top 10 plays. So here we go. The top 10 plays from BYU's 10-win regular season.
Loaded conversation. Naturally, we start at number 10 with Chase Roberts and his game-changing touchdown catch against UCF, Jerem. BYU led 17-10. It was a little bit weird. It was still close. And then this explosive play for BYU right before halftime took the breath out of the stadium at the bounce house, other than the BYU fans who were going absolutely wild watching Chase sprint down the sideline, 62 yards from the score. By the way, that's the longest play from scrimmage this season. BYU won convincingly, bigger than the final score would indicate, 37-24, and got to 8-0 going into that second bye week.
That wasn't even the coolest moment of the day. After BYU scored a touchdown, a rocket went off out of Cape Canaveral.
A literal rocket.
Right? You were there. It was crazy, right? Like, whoa!
Oh, the timing of it was incredible. That was a peak moment for BYU's season. Not just this play, that entire game. BYU played almost a complete game. That the always sought after full complete game. Kalani Sitake referenced that after they beat UCF. They're really close there.
BYU's offense kind of took a dip after this moment a little bit, it felt like. Okay, number 9, Mark Collins, toe tap interception against SMU. I think it's funny we're calling it a toe tap because he was like a yard in bounds.
But hold it up, Mark.
Hold it up, Petey. Yeah, fourth quarter, BYU up 15-12. Huge play. It was second and 10 at the 20. Interception inside the red zone. SMU goes on to make the playoff. Picked off Kevin Jennings, managed to get his toes down. Helped BYU's defense keep SMU's offense out. Not just this, but Jacob Robinson's fumble recovery. I mean, the defense, this was their greatest performance, was giving up only 5 field goals to SMU, who is one of the better offenses in the country. This was an incredible moment.
Well, the offense, as you mentioned, didn't play great for BYU, but they did pull off the number 8 play on our list. Fourth down call, Jake Retzlaff, the gamer, to Miles Davis. What a call after a timeout, setting BYU up for that go-ahead score. Again, fourth and 1. Tied at 15, Will Farron, big game Bill, you know, doing his thing. He's making game-winning field goals. One of 5 true road wins against a top team by any team in the country this season, and that offensive play helped BYU get it done.
Yeah, only 5 teams beat a top 10 team in a true road game. BYU was one of them in this game, as you mentioned, which was crazy. What a call, what a moment. That was Miles Davis's shining moment right there. He's jumped in the portal since. Okay, number 7, Jacob Robinson. Tip to himself, interception, to start the second half against Arizona. First play of the second half, BYU at 14-7, and this changed the momentum. BYU ends up scoring after this and kind of runs away with it. Noah Fifita throws a pick, one of 3 picks on the day for the BYU defense. Cougars won big, 41-19. This was another great play by Jacob Robinson, who has had a ton in his BYU career.
What an unbelievable individual athletic play. BYU's going to miss him. Man, I wish he could play another year at BYU.
And we have SkyCam footage of it.
SkyCam footage is the best. All right, let's stay with the defense and the interception theme for that matter at number 6. Crew Wakely against Baylor when things were getting weird in Waco. BYU finally got it done in a road format. There were so many questions going into this game. Can BYU win a road game in the Big 12? Can they win an afternoon road game in the Big 12? Got off to a quick start. They needed Crew to come up with a huge interception to seal that win. 34-28 helped keep BYU undefeated to get to 5-0. By the way, Baylor, 6-1 since that loss against BYU. They're playing some really good football. That's a quality win. That's an 8-win team. You and I are big, especially you, Jerem, on how many wins BYU has in the season against 8-win teams. Baylor qualifies for that. We're going to miss Crew Wakely, who has since then jumped in the transfer portal.
If Baylor had gone down and scored a touchdown and beaten BYU and they didn't give up a Hail Mary to Colorado, they might be in the playoff.
Crazy.
Right? They would have been in the Big 12 title game. They could have played for a championship there. They were this close. They were this close. That was a really good win. That's perhaps the most underrated win of the season by BYU, was at Baylor. Number five, Keelan Marion. Kickoff return touchdown against Utah. We talked about it earlier. First team All-American guy. Second quarter at Utah. I mentioned that like it was the second half. No, it was in the second quarter. To give the Utes, Utes had a 7-3 lead. And then, boom, from the four-yard line, 96 yards for Keelan Marion. His second kickoff return touchdown of the season. More from this game in a moment, of course.
He is speed. Tommy Process. You want to talk about freshman phenom moments? Is there anything better than what happened against Kansas State? Talk about a game-changing play. BYU was losing 6-3 late in the second quarter. Then this, the scoop and score on the Jack Kelly forced fumble to rob DJ Giddens or steal the ball away from him. 30 yards for a touchdown, part of a 31-0 run to blow that game absolutely wide open. One of BYU's two defensive touchdowns this season. Tommy Prassis, welcome to BYU football.
That run of 31 straight points was unbelievable. Like, everything went BYU's way. It was crazy. And then in the Arizona game, it felt like that kind of happened again. But Tommy skipping into the end zone, pretty awesome. True freshman. It's like his second or third home game at BYU when he's scoring a touchdown. Huge win at the time for BYU. That was awesome. Number
in
three.
The throwback uniforms.
Oh, the 96. So good. So good. Number three, Parker Kingston's punt return touchdown against Kansas State. This should have been the worst play of the year. It ends up being the number three play of the year. Almost gets taken out by his own teammate. Skips around the corner. Isaiah Glasker doesn't really block anybody, but he's just along for the ride. And Parker Kingston ends up throwing up on the sideline after. It was unbelievable. Like, that was an amazing moment. Parker Kingston told me the Monday after, I've dreamed of a moment like that, running into the rock. It was incredible. How far did he run again? 137 yards, I think?
Yes, something like that. It was almost the not top 10 play. And the number one not top 10 play, right? Good grief.
Game of inches, man.
All-timer. And that capped off the 31-0 scoring run. That was the last touchdown in that run. Pandemonium.
So crazy.
Or should we call it Pandalarium?
It was Pandalarium. We had a mutual friend that was trying to combine what pandemonium and
delirium.
Delirium. Pandalarium, he said on a high school game one time.
I think that probably sums up the emotion of LaVell Edwards Stadium in that moment. It's fair. It's a combo word. Gosh,
awesome,
that
man.
Was a fun moment. That's number three, Jeremy.
That's number three. What's better?
Yes. Number two. Darius Lassiter, in a little bit more dramatic moment from Jake Retzlaff, trailing 35-31 with 19 seconds left against Oklahoma State. Skips into the end zone. Dance for him, Darius. 35-yard game-winning touchdown. Helped BYU survive and get to 7-0. BYU had less than a 1% chance of winning that game when that drive started. Amazing. Another Pandalarium moment in LaVell Edwards Stadium.
No one was watching Darius dance because they were turning to the people next to them. It's crazy. Oklahoma State stunk this year. They didn't win a single conference game. They almost won this game. I'm glad BYU wasn't the only one to lose to OK State. That would have been terrible.
They were 3-3 going into this game. And then, honestly, this is the type of game that if you're Oklahoma State, the wheels just come off. He's like, what do we got to do? What do we got to do to win a game?
Yep.
My gosh.
And the number one play of the year. You know what it is, but we're going to tell you anyway. Will Farron, number 44 from 44 to beat Utah. 21-19 at the Utah 26. Time running down. No timeouts for BYU. Will Farron draws a 44-yard field goal with 3 seconds left to beat Utah 22-21. Oh, and BYU wins up there for the first time since 2006. Back to Arlene, BYU 9-0. At that moment, little did we know that was the high of the season.
Yeah. I mean, BYU had a lot of magic tricks. They had a lot of magic tricks this season. They just used them all kind of early and just didn't have enough left in the bag late in the season.
Will Farron.
I'm not going to sit here and complain. Like, you look back
immortal.
At those 10 plays, how many great moments, how many great feelings come from those 10 plays? My goodness.
And we actually have an honorable mention, which I think our friends to the north are really going to like.
Oh, we do?
BYU facing a 4th and 10 at their own 9-yard line. Jake Retzloff is sacked. The game's over. BYU lost, right? But wait! There's a penalty flag, defensive holding. JoJo Phillips draws it. This is the honorable mention of the year. I actually argued for this being number one. Because guess what? It was the play of the year, in my opinion. The hold. Can't hold. The bickering and bitterness after was juice to my soul. It was beautiful. And it led to Will Farron's touchdown. You can still get a stop after this play, by the way. Just saying.
And they did. 4th and hold.
4th and hold.
Legendary. What is it about big-time fourth-down plays against Utah? My goodness.
I don't know. There have been kind of too many. I would buckle down on that more. Go ahead.
Did Will kick his field goal on a fourth down? I think that was a fourth down, too, wasn't
it?
Or was it third down? I can't remember.
Did they run it down? It was fourth. We're being told it was fourth. Okay. Good stuff. Top 10 plays from BYU's 10-win season. Women's basketball plays its final non-conference game of the season against the other Cougars, Washington State. You can listen to it on the radio tonight, 9 Eastern, BYU Radio. We just counted down our top 10 plays from the BYU football season. What's your top play? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store. Official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation with Jerem Jordan and Spencer Linton. Our question of the day is this. We're counting down the top 10 plays of the BYU football season. We just did it a moment ago. What plays number one on your list? Brady.B021 on Instagram. Kingston punt return TD electric. I can see the argument for multiple plays. I just think Will Farron against Utah, that's got to be number one. And if that's not number one, then it's the hold that led to that.
Yes, it's the meaningful moment. You and I value a lot of the same things in that regard, where it's like clutch moments, like pressure kicks. You got to make it. In terms of just like a spectacular play in its own little vacuum, I definitely understand why Parker Kingston's punt return is included in that. And what's crazy is you and I were just talking during the break. We didn't even include Keelan Marion's kickoff return touchdown against Wyoming in the top 10. That's how good it's been. And a double pass touchdown by Parker Kingston to L.J. Martin.
Yeah.
Wild.
There were so many great plays this year. It was awesome. At Rowdy in the Rock on X, I feel like the touchdown Tommy scoop and score, that's fun, isn't talked about enough. Before that play, we were holding up with K-State but didn't have a lot of momentum. That play got the ball rolling for that game, and that win turned sprung us into a historic 100th season. We forget it's the 100th season still. And BYU had this amazing year in the centennial celebration of Cougar football.
Yeah, not over yet. A chance at 11 wins, and you might get an opportunity to face and beat the number one quarterback drafted and the Heisman Trophy winner, Travis Hunter. Wild.
A lot of time, bowl games are about motivation. BYU has every need for motivation in this bowl game. At BYU Fan A on X, the kick heard around the world. Utah game has to be number one, in my opinion. Breaking the streak at RES. We don't think about LES and RES, but that's what it is. To get to 9-0. Yeah, and that's why we had it number one, man. That's why we had it number one. Our elite voice of the day.
The first time BYU had won in Salt Lake City since 2006.
Forever, man. Our elite voice of the day is presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated. At BYU Holding U on X. The Utah hold that won the BYU that game. Yes! You get it! And that's why that's the elite voice of the day. Today's Rise of Shadows is presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Let's give it to our guy, Keelan Marion, the second best dancer on BYU's team behind his roommate, Darius Lassiter. Walter Camp, first team All-American, first player since BYU's Brady Christensen did it in 2020 in that COVID season to be named a Walter Camp first team All-American. Fourth BYU player since 2000. It doesn't happen often, that is for sure.
Nope.
Ninth BYU player all time. Congratulations, Keelan. We love you. BYU fans, lucky to be able to watch you play. Can't wait to watch you run it back for the Cougs next year.
Kelly Papinga should be the special teams coordinator of the year by somebody. I haven't heard that quite yet, but he definitely, absolutely deserves that. Our thanks to today's guest, Jonathan Tavernari. Sorry to Dennis Pitta, we ran out of time. It felt like we probably could have had time for you today, but we didn't make it.
Top 10 plays, bro. Sorry.
Yeah.
conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook. All of our shows, you know, on demand at BYUSN.com.
For Spencer, I'm Jerem. Shout out to Katie Larkin. Go Cougs. Have a great weekend, everybody.